connect three kinds of spiritual treasures. I think I could, in a way, in a non-economic way, take on where Professor Fraser left. When he spoke about Africa, a year and a half ago in Bukavu, in the Kivu region, I had a discussion with members of the MNC, Mouvement National Congolais. And I was talking about the possibilities of a government in the Congo. And I doubted their ability to have a sound or, let us say, even liberal democracy. I pointed out to them that, after all, I said, you people here, you don't even know the province of the Congo. You don't know the province of the Kasai, of the Katanga region, or of Leopoldville. You don't know international affairs. You don't know anything about the atomic warfare. You don't know anything about the UN. You don't know anything about economics. And you want to vote. You want to decide by majority vote. And I said, how is it now in your country, in Austria? Can women vote? Yes, naturally. And the average housewife in Austria can vote too. And now what, they asked me, does the average Austrian housewife know about the Cold War, the atomic armaments, and the economic problems of the various parts of Austria? And I say, they don't know anything either. And then they said furiously, and why should they have all the fun of voting and we don't? And you know what happened, of course, in the meantime, the voting happened with the help of photographies, of leaders, of animal symbols. And democracy really worked in the Congo. But it was a state collapse. It was an honest vote. They reached honest majority. And of course, it was left to the executive. And here, of course, we come to the real core of the problem. And that is, and nobody so far has mentioned it, but surprisingly, what is the great Western tradition of government through the ages, or let us say, at least through the history of Christendom, since the early beginning of Western modern history, which goes back to Carolingian times, and the answer is the real great European tradition is mixed government, is the regime mixtum, which consisted of monarchical, of elitarian, I don't say aristocratic because it might be mistaken, and also of democratic elements. There was a continuity by a family, then there was a far smaller continuity by men of wisdom and knowledge and practice, and these men are to be found, I would say, rather in the administration and in the Senate, also a body of seizures, and then finally in the real popular representation, where I come from the Austrian Tyrol, we had four estates, the peasants included, the burghers, the nobility, clergy. Everybody was represented. But of course, there's a mixed government. Now, what is democracy, president? Democracy answers the question, who should win? And the answer is the majority of politically equal citizens. I mean, first, also the representative. Liberalism, on the other hand, answers the question, how should rules be exercised? And the answer is, rules should be exercised in such a way, regardless whether it's a Nazi man or a Catholic assembly, that each individual citizen enjoys the greatest feasible liberties. The greatest liberties built that touches with the common good. Of course, this definition of democracy is subscripted in an American. Take 9 months per year. Take the majority principle of the day. Take the counting of noises per day. Take the addition of subtraction per day. Not those remain practically of democracy in the sense we understand it, and you know, nothing and everything. Even if this is not in an answer. Mixed government, the thought is anti-monolith. Everything, everyone is always against the monolith. And of course, now comes the whole question. If we are building a machine, this ideal government is detachable, then if you don't do that, let us have a problem. Then we can get into the machine, that's the demise. It is not really to introduce democracy now. In the family, in the city, in the jail, in the factory, in the bank, in the community, in the school. Immediately it says that I learned. It says that it's that why should this principle come to notice? Which is not very polite, why should this be effective and positive in the political field? And if you're not learning from the democracy, it's not because it's not just the
today. And the village is now increasing. The village of women is now increasing. And I think that the village men funded it. I have done. You are coming to my love. You see, do it yourself. Then you understand that I'm not the United States any earlier than I said that the system is established and then this is 1990. Then you understand that enough. The person is driving the person to the relationship with it. You must have turned the person. Every man by nature is a doctor. Every man by nature is a scientist. And the fact is, that result, the reason that the very time in the nursery is the truth of Christ. Especially the ideological is the Arab threat. It's become early evidence. It's a matter to liberty. It's our life a chaotic thing, life and the fear, and the fear, the fear of pain will be died in life. The only kind of threat is the same as evidence of democracy. It's neurological, not philosophy. It's neurological. It's early with the truth of it. Because it's just here, it's the first time we've been in Christendom. The thing is, it's not a difference. The sentiment is the principle of equality, and it's not a difference with values, taxes, and favors. Faith cannot be used to the building design, not only the tender inspiration, but also as true building care intended, with rationalism and the absolute rationalism side of philosophy. Social religion is a child of democracy. The political economy, the political economy, the class of equality, the class identity, the national equality, the national identity, the racial identity, national socialism being one of the finest flavors of the spirit of Western democracy stemming from the French Revolution. And we do not really have outside Switzerland another tradition. And then finally in the book, Die Enfant des Stables, democracy is only workable if there are no ideological stresses, if there are not ideological abuses, and this you can only achieve by real indoctrination. So that every newspaper, every theater play, every movie, every radio play, every radio address, every presidential address, every school textbook, everywhere plays Republicanism. So that finally, no alternative ideology. Yet I think that a measured ideological strife, a measured ideological discussion is healthy, is good from the point of view of liberty. And then finally, we should not kid ourselves. The great demand for liberty, a speaker this morning, Professor Lovejoy, pointed out that the demand for liberalism is good of class. I don't believe so. The demand for liberty is essentially a demand of the upper layers. The poor bourgeoisie is the demand of intellectuals, it's the demand of aristocrats, it's the demand of artists. They want to say something. They want to express themselves. For the great masses, liberty is a luxury. They prefer liberty to slavery. But if it comes to the moment in any discussion I see in a larger group, saying this might endanger the living standard, any liberal proposal, then immediately could see why fear on the faces. Therefore, liberalism is a movement from above, and therefore I do not see in the Republican framework, or rather in the democratic, the strictly democratic framework, the possibilities and the chances for a truly great liberal movement. And of course, here we come finally to the point, Christianity and liberalism. One of the speakers expressed his great difficulties between liberalism and the Catholic Church. I'm an active Catholic. I'm archliberal. I know the difficulties. Sometimes these difficulties are local, on account of the backward clergy, bad little seminaries, clergy which is not university educated, as in some other parts of the world. So naturally, I see certain difficulties here. But I can tell you one thing out of my experience. There is a Mount Everest of Catholic ignorance, of important Catholics, of leading Catholics, of ignorance, fixed with prejudice, because ignorance and prejudice were put together, against the liberal idea, and especially against the new liberal idea. But there is an equally large mountain, another Mount Everest, of liberal ignorance about the Catholic Church, an equal amount of ignorance about Christianity as such. There has to be an interpenetration. And very little has been done so far about this interpenetration, about this mutual study, because you can only have a dialogue after a preliminary study that you can exchange ideas. There's absolutely no doubt to my mind that by their very nature, the Catholic nations, whom I know practically all except those in the Philippine Islands, I'm going to visit shortly, that they all are born liberals, born individualists, born anarchists, close to law and order. Black is the symbol of clericalism, of anarchism at the very same time. There's a deeper, much, much deeper symbolism to it. There is, of course, we know, a hierarchic church structure. The church, if you like, is in a way a monarchy, that is quite true. But the anthropology of Catholic theology, the Catholic picture of man is a man in his glory with the supremacy of conscience, the freedom of will. It's a very important point. I'm concentrating on the Catholic issue, and of course it's also true for other religious communities. So what we have to do here is really to be constructive, to work, is to set ideas. We might discover that a lot of people are voting the communist ticket in France, and especially in Italy, if you really grill them out of the anarchists, they are communists. So, and of course, it's just the other option. We have to realize that very, very properly indeed. The largest communist parties in Europe, percentage-wise, are not in France, Italy, I want more. It is repeated again and again. There are in Iceland and a few. And then there's such a large communist party in Finland with a tremendous welfare, a very high living standard, that let us say some sort of knowledge of the Russian situation. That is really surprising. There's a real conviction behind that, especially in Iceland, which I visited myself, which has perhaps the highest living standard in Europe. So we must be exceedingly careful here in this work. And we have to look again at the problem of mixed justice. Especially, of course, this country here reminds me of the tragedy that the Italian government before 1922 was not a mixed government but was lopsided. It was a strictly parliamentary government with the king playing a very weak role in it, but it was sufficiently weak that in 1943 the king was able to